I'm going to begin tonight quoting from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. In the English Standard Version, it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Listen to this from the King James Version, where it says, "Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Now, while this passage certainly has context, encouraging Jewish Christians to persevere in the activity of their faith, though they were under pressure, the passage works well as a standalone reminder to each of us about an essential attitude we need to have. We have need of patience, that after doing the will of God, we might receive the promise. I am privileged to know so many godly people who have and who continue to impress me and influence me as they exhibit the qualities characteristic of a child of God, pleasing to their Father. And they exhibit to me those qualities in their lives. Most of the people I know are not inclined toward murder, adultery, idolatry, deceit, lasciviousness, fraud, or false teaching. But most of us struggle with patience. On some level, or at some point in life, if not constantly, at various times and circumstances, we struggle to endure, to be steadfast, to have that attitude of patience. We are not very good at waiting. As a group confession, it can be said of people today in general, maybe not you specifically, but people today in general, that we are an impatient people. Exceptions granted. Generally speaking, we do not want to wait. We are rushed. We are out of time. We demand immediate attention and immediate gratification. I wrote an article for a magazine published by Christians a few months ago, and I said at the end of that piece, I said one more thing. Slow down. We occupy an atmosphere loaded with rush, hurry, demand. The devil can shape all of that busyness into a weapon against us. The devil can shape all of that busyness into a weapon and use that against us. And I've thought about this propensity to be impatient, and I put together some months ago four very quick examples to illustrate the issue that we're going to be talking about tonight. Down in the valley where I live, there are several freestanding emergency rooms and night clinics. You probably have them in this area. And have you noticed how they compete for patients? Down in the valley, they compete for patients with a huge sign out front that tells you their wait time. The sign doesn't advertise competent, qualified doctors and nurses. The marketing on that sign is not about good equipment that's kept up to date. The sign out there doesn't say, "All insurance accepted." The sign singles out one thing that all of us have an intense interest in. How long do I have to wait? The sign says, you have to wait only 3 minutes here, and then you drive down the highway just a few miles, and it'll say, the sign will say only 2 minutes. And by the way, the signs never do say 6 hours. They're not in hours. They're in minutes, because that's what we're concerned about. I believe this shows our passion in our society today for impatience. Second example, have you noticed when you pull up to an intersection to stop for the red light, you better be ready. Because when the light turns green, if you hesitate for 1.5 seconds, you're going to hear a horn, right? Third example, when you type an email on your computer and hit the send button, how long are you willing to wait for that email to go out? I want it to go out right then. How about you? What if it said, what if a little prompt came up and said, your email will go out in 15 minutes? Oh, that'll not do. We've got to have that email going out right then. I'm from a generation where I remember when you wrote a letter with pencil on paper, you put it in an envelope, lick the envelope, address it, put a stamp on it, and go to the post office, and then somebody gets it 4 days later. Not today. Send that email. I want that to go right out. And then my fourth example is even more serious than the other three. I think it may be the case that when we pray for something, we want the answer within 5 seconds after we say amen. See, we have a problem in our society. It cannot be denied. There is an impatience about us. We have to have what we want right now. And this impatience can cause us great trouble. The devil can shape this into a weapon and use it against us. It may be time for us to consider admonitions in the Word of God like this one in Hebrews 10, verse 36. Ye have need of patience. And so tonight, here's what we're going to do. I want to highlight three areas where we need to recall what the Bible says about patience. And we're then going to talk about patience as a product of faith. This is not a comprehensive study of everything that could be said about patience. Just three areas where patience is needed. And after looking at those three areas, I'll conclude with passages that address how patience is developed in the first place and how it's maintained. First of all, three areas of thought and life where the attitude of patience is required. Number one, patience with yourself. I'm going to combine two passages here. Two very familiar passages I'm going to combine to make the point that I need to make. Jesus said in Matthew 22:39, love your neighbor as yourself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that love is patient. Therefore, if God says I am to love myself, and then if God says after that, love is patient, there's a very simple conclusion. We need to be patient with ourselves. We need to be patient with ourselves. Now, I've got to qualify that. Once we establish that we need to be patient with ourselves, we need to understand we are here speaking of patience, not tolerance of sin. I cannot transgress God's law and ignore that and say I'm going to be patient. Sin is intolerable. Sin demands immediate attention. Don't put it off. When I sin, I must never put off repentance, nor offer any kind of justification for what I've done transgressing God's law. So patience is not tolerance of sin. Patience is recognition of the reality of growth. Patience is forgiving yourself when God forgives you, when you meet the conditions God has mandated. Patience is acknowledging imperfection while striving for perfection. Sometimes it is easy to look at yourself and just be discouraged. Sometimes so close to discouragement that you give up. Self-examination that we talk about so much, that I know has been delivered from this pulpit many times. Self-examination is not designed to lead us into a spiral, down into a cave of depression where we give up. That's not the idea behind self-examination. Self-examination is a discipline to enable us to quickly identify wrong and make prompt correction and then get right back up and get in the race again. We cannot become so introverted and self-critical that we just live in despair all the time. Patience with myself is not permission to sin. It is permission to correct my course without giving up. Can I say that again for those who are taking notes? Patience with myself is not permission to sin. It is permission to correct my course without giving up. We have an expression back where I was raised in Arkansas, and you probably have it here in Texas, I'm sure you do. Cut yourself some slack. That's the idea. Without tolerating sin, but with joyous effort to know you can get up every day and recommit yourself to growing spiritually, drawing near to the Lord and doing better than you did yesterday. Make that resolution, not just in December for January. Make that resolution now if you need to. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. James 5 and verse 11. Sometimes each of us need to remember that. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. I need to read that and believe that the Lord is compassionate and merciful to me. I need to trust God who says that I'm a work in progress. Construction is ongoing, and I'm going to keep going in the right direction. I'm not going to get bogged down in self-pity and self-loathing. Patience with others. Well, this may be where the challenge is. If I didn't hit the challenge on number one, I'm hitting it here probably. I don't suppose any of us would dispute this. Are there people who try your patience? Maybe in your own home. Are there people who try your patience? It's a very common thing. For a moment, consider not people who sin against you but are openly practice immorality, but they're just very different. And they may exhibit in your presence some habits and some mannerisms that just irritate you. There are some people that just try our patience. Perhaps there is a disagreement over some matter of judgment. Maybe an opinion diversity that doesn't fall within a matter of faith. What does God expect me to do about people who just rub me the wrong way? I mean, in my attitude and in my treatment of those people, I'm going to read some passages here in a moment. Maybe not all of these that are up there, but some of these. I'm going to read these passages and let you decide if these instructions recommend patience with others. Ecclesiastes 7, 9, Ephesians 4 and verse 2, and it should say in there, Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. And I'm not going to give extended commentary just let you see if these passages have anything to do with what our attitude ought to be toward people who just rub us the wrong way. So how about Ecclesiastes 7:9? Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Lodges. Resides. Stays there. You remember it. And every time you're around that person, you remember that they irritate you. Lodges in the heart of fools. Ephesians 4 and verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience. Now, get the next phrase. Bearing with one another in love. Bearing. Long bearing, long suffering, being patient with one another in love. Or in Romans 15 and verse 1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now you decide, when you read passages like this, if they have anything to do with the attitude that you ought to have and the treatment you ought to afford toward people that are just different. And they have mannerisms and ways about them that irritate you. You decide, but it's clear to me, God is expecting me to hold off from being a snob. Stop being hypercritical and a complainer. It'll probably not change those people. I am to love as Christ has loved me. Have you ever done anything to irritate God? And how did God respond to that? I am to love as Christ has loved me. I am to be restrained in my responses to people that I may not like in many ways. I am to walk in wisdom toward outsiders, Colossians 4 and verse 5. Now, here's another approach to this. You remember we were talking a few moments ago about being patient toward ourselves. And you remember that I made the point, we grant ourselves room to grow, to learn, to do better. Are we not to grant that same room to others to grow that we grant to ourselves? Ephesians 4 and verse 2 says we are to treat one another with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And the final verse of chapter 4 in Ephesians says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. When people are guilty of sin, even when we apply everything God tells us to do to rescue them, 2 Thessalonians 3:15 says, do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Indeed, as written in Hebrews 10:36, we have need of patience. It's a product of faith. It shows up in self-control and discipline and being long-suffering and slow to anger. If I didn't challenge you with number one or number two, here we are, patience with God. Yes, this is part of our development of trust in Him. And it is all over virtually every page in the book of Psalms where there is this great emphasis on trust in God. And one element of that trust that you study in Psalms is respecting His wisdom, and one part of that is accepting His timing. Accepting His timing. And so, in Psalm 25 and verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. In Psalm 62 and verse 5, my soul Wait silently for God alone. This is David talking to his soul. And he's saying, wait, for my expectation is from him. In Isaiah 30 and verse 18, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. You remember what I described about our prayers? Amen. Where is it? Where is it? I ask for it. Amen. What's the wait time? Blessed are all those who wait for him. I know there are times and circumstances and pressures each one of us in the audience are familiar with. And each one could provide a narrative, maybe of something you're going through right now, where it's very hard and stressful, and we pray for relief. And when we pray, we say, the Lord's will. And then sometimes we sing the song, in His time. But it's so hard. That's when we need to read and pray as written in the Psalms about our trust in God. We need patience. It is necessary. It is required in dealing with things that happen to us. People, teaching and preaching, waiting for God, patience with yourself, patience with others, and patience with God. Now, what passages speak to us about how to develop what we've been talking about and how to maintain what we've been talking about? What passages tell us how we can maintain and develop this attitude of patience? Here's the first thing I need to say. Patience is not a standalone virtue. Patience is not a standalone virtue. In fact, I'll go further. There is no virtue or attitude enjoined in Scripture that stands alone. Everything about our response to God through Christ is connected and balanced. I want to work with that in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read that, and I want us to listen to one particular connection that is on exhibit in the text. This is not a list of unrelated independent traits. They are all connected. 2 Peter 1. Be patient with me. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective are unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. In the English Standard Version that I'm reading for, these are supplements. They're connected with something else. And when you look in the text and think in terms of supplements, you add these to something that already exists. Now, what is it that already exists and we add these things to it? Why, it's faith. I must not think of patience as a standalone virtue. Imagine this internal dialogue where I say to myself, wow, Berkeley, you need patience. You've got to get patience into your head and your life. See, that's just about one thing, that dialogue that I have internally. Patience is not a standalone virtue. All good attitude is based on and produced by the consistent activity of faith. All good attitude is based on and produced by the consistent activity of faith. And so in passage after passage in the Bible that speaks of the acquisition and the development of attitudes like patience, patience is a product of faith. Listen to this. Colossians 1, verses 10 and 11. It says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now look at that last phrase. Patience and long-suffering with joy. How do I develop that? Don't just lock into that phrase. Look back at the first part of the passage, and it's going to tell you, walk worthy of the Lord. Fully please Him. Increase in the knowledge of God, and you will have strength and patience and joy. They are products of faith. It is this simple. Patience is one of the many good results or products when we are active every day as disciples of Jesus Christ. It is not a standalone virtue. It is a packaged deal, packaged in with and produced by the daily activity of faith in Christ. In Luke 8:15, Jesus said, "The person with a good and honest heart receives the seed, the word of God, and the result is bear fruit with patience." You see the formula that we're using here. We're looking at passage after passage that mentions patience, and then we go back into the passage and see what comes before it. And it's faith. Patience requires a good and honest heart in which the Word of God is received. The heart becomes the container of the Word of God, and there is the bearing of fruit with patience. It doesn't stand alone. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Are we getting this? What we are taught in Scripture is given for us to believe and practice and produce these good attitudes that we're talking about this week. James 1:3 tells us the testing of our faith produces patience. What comes first? The faith, and in the testing of that faith, the product is patience. Romans 10:13 says, "Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So I make my mind a receiver of the word of God. Faith is produced. I act on that faith steadfastly, even when it's tested and tried, and that process produces patience." Revelation 14:12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." There cannot be patience. There cannot be the patience of the saints apart from keeping the commandments of God, and you keep those commandments based on faith in Jesus. You see, it's all connected. And as this obedient faith is pursued day after day, you develop love that we talked about yesterday. And in 1 Corinthians 13:4, do you remember what it says? Love is patient. Patience is a product of being an active, willing, consistent disciple of Jesus Christ. You cannot work on patience independent of the other things that are around it and that produce it. I can't just say, okay, Berkeley, you're impatient. You need to work just on that. No, I need to work on what produces that. The virtue of patience is a product of obedient, growing faith. It is part of our complete response to God. As I nail down the activity of faith in Christ and grow that faith in my life, patience is a product that is developed. 2 Peter 1 says, it is added to faith, so it cannot be developed separate from faith in Jesus Christ and all of its activity. Patience with yourself. Patience with others. Patience with God. Christ died to put this virtue within our reach. So let's do better about faith, and we can do better about everything it produces. One more thing before we sing. Slow down. We occupy an atmosphere loaded with rush and hurry and demand, and the devil can shape all that busyness into a weapon and use that against us. Let's be standing as we sing. Zion's